The scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. The first time I was introduced to the Beatles was through this song, "Let It Be." As a kid, I loved the tune, but I didn't know what it really meant. It was too profound for me at the time. Why is "let it be" a word of wisdom? Now, as I grow older, I learned that much of the human destruction, frustration, and anxiety comes from trying to control the uncontrollable. So you need to learn to let it be. But when did Mother Mary ever say that? Later, I found in the Bible where Mary responded to the angel Gabriel when he came to announce that she would bear a child. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel explained to her, and concluding that nothing is impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Now, it is the wisdom of surrendering her will and submitting to the will of God that changed everything. Many great men and women, past and present, have made that decision at some point in their lives. In fact, all major religions have this teaching. The word Islam means submitting to the will of God, of course. And the word Muslim means the submitter to God, submitter. Buddhism, why not a theism, requires you to let go of everything to find enlightenment. Taoism asks you to go with the flow of the Tao, because you cannot just go against the Tao. I'm not talking about religious syncretism, and which indicates that all roads lead to Rome. Instead, I believe all roads lead to Christ, because ultimately you need the grace of Christ to let it be. Even though it's a universal word of wisdom, let it be. Without a gracious God, you feel you are ruled by a totalitarian God, as if God is saying that my way or highway. Last week, we looked at Jesus as the embodiment of grace upon grace, the God of grace revealed in Jesus Christ. Using the same theme, we can look at how Jesus manifested the grace of God. Today is the Sunday commemorating the baptism of the Lord. It brings up a lot of questions. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? As the Son of God, wasn't he sinless? John the Baptist had the question too. "I need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me?" If anyone among them needed to be baptized, it would have been John, because He was a sinner like all of us human beings. Jesus' answer triggered theological debate over 2,000 years. He said, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Do you know that it was the first word Jesus ever uttered, according to Matthew? Jesus started his ministry with the word, "Let it be so now." His life is all about let it be. When the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, he said, "We are supposed to pray from the very beginning, you know, after addressing to God, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.'" It is another way of saying, "Let it be." On the night of his arrest, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God to spare him from going to the cross. But he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." From the beginning of his ministry to the end, it is all about let it be. Now John was standing in Jordan River, baptizing people one after another who came to him. Suddenly he saw this, you know, his cousin, Jesus, standing in front of him. He felt intimidated and humbled, knowing who he was. So he said that maybe we need to reverse our roles here. I should be baptized by you. Jesus said, "Let it be so now. It is, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. The word "proper" has a loaded meaning. It's proper for him to identify with the sinners, with us, saying that since I'm here to save them, why don't I join them from the bottom, from where they are? Baptism lowered his status to equal with humankind. From the very beginning, he decided to carry the sin of humanity, which he later paid for it on the cross. And it is proper, also implies grace. It tells us that God is not a totalitarian being, but God is a God of grace. He's now down here with us. According to the Buddhist legends, after Buddha achieved the enlightenment, he came back to society to teach what he had learned so that other people can achieve enlightenment. The crowd met him on the beach in India for the first time. No, they look at him in amaze. Buddha kicked the sand on the beach and let the sand get into their eyes, and they had to bow down. He said, "I'm now the Buddha. I'm the enlightened one. You are not supposed to look at me straight, you know, like the cat would look at the king. You have to bow down in front of me." You know, even nowadays, if you're in front of a Buddhist monk, if you go to Burma, so to speak, you are supposed to sit at a lower level than the Buddhist monk. And then as a pastor, I'm equivalent to a Buddhist monk. Can you imagine doing that? But Jesus taught us differently. He draws a contrast to what the way society functions. He never demanded to be treated as the Son of God, but he stooped down to the human level, and maybe even lower than human level. We know that he even washed the feet of his disciples. That's why servant leadership is the norm of Christianity. Now, starting with the word "let it be," Jesus began his journey of showing people that God is the God of grace upon grace. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. His goal is to fulfill all righteousness. We know that only righteous can enter heaven. And since heaven is a perfect place, we cannot have imperfect people there. So since no one is perfect, we cannot achieve righteousness on our own. Jesus is here to fulfill all righteousness on behalf of us through his grace. Jesus is saying, since I'm here to save them, it is proper for me to identify with them, starting with baptism. Now, he had convinced John the Baptist, and he consented to baptize him. Then the Bible says, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. As Christians, we are used to the concept of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God being represented by a dove. But have you ever thought of how significant it is? Throughout history, human beings believed that if the Spirit of God did come down, it would come down like a thunder, zapping everyone on its path. It would be like a firestorm. The fact that the Spirit of God came down as a dove contradicted all the traditional concept of God. A dove is a symbol of peace. Recently, we have a swarm of doves gathering at our outside our windows because Sophie put her bird feeder in there. I observed them, and they are very pure, gentle, and beautiful creatures. Unlike the woodpeckers that would attack any other birds that come to the bird feeder when they are eating. Unlike the blue jays that are scared of anyone observing them, you saw a blue jay come to the bird feeder. You look at it and it flies away. And the pigeons are just a bunch of peaceful birds and a perfect symbol of grace. Have you ever imagined God as a dove? Now, what a game changer for anyone who thinks a God is out there to get them. It gives you totally a different perspective of life and relationship with God. The fact that God came down as a dove means you can relax at the presence of God. This verse gives us a sense of a scene of God and sinner reconciled, just as the Christmas hymn depicted. As Jesus identified with humankind and submitted his will to God's will through baptism, the Spirit of God came down as a dove and rested on his shoulder. It's a picture perfect of heaven and earth, once parted through sin, are now united in a new way in the person of Jesus Christ. Now the third person of Trinity joined with his voice. It's actually the first person, we should say. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the first time when all three persons of the Trinity appear together at one place. This scene tells us that baptism is not just a mere Christian ritual, but a triune God takes it very seriously. For us, it is receiving the gift of righteousness and being adopted as a child of God. As John said, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God." In other words, you become part of the royal family. Talking about royal family, you have heard in the news this week that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are stepping down from their senior role in the British royal family and plan to carve out a progressive new role within the royal family and honor the Queen in a different way. I don't know the backstory of their decision, but whatever they do, they will always Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. Meghan was married into the British royal family. We are baptized into God's royal family. The point of this passage, you know, of the scripture is that baptism is not a mere ritual, but adoption by the gracious God. No matter what we do from that point forward, our role is no longer the same. This adoption begins with one decision: let it be. It's the word of wisdom and the act of embracing God's grace. It doesn't mean the rest of the journey is all smooth, as you see that Jesus was led into the wilderness after his baptism to be tempted by the devil. The devil doesn't want you to let it be. He wants you to build your own kingdom. Of course, that's another sermon on another time. For this week, think about the wisdom of let it be. Meditate on Jesus' very first word, let it be so now. You will discover that when you can let it be, God has a better plan for you, for your life to enjoy. It's like surfing the wave. You can't control the wave, but you can learn to let it be, use its current to enjoy the surf. Let it be doesn't mean you are totally passive, but actively partnering with God's plan or God's wave. So let us all have fun with let it be. God bless you all. Amen.